Amen. Thank you, John.
Thank you. That's probably better for me, I think. That's good. Oh, good. I was with that one. It's nice to be here again. For some of you, we have long journeys that go back over decades, and some I don't know, but just the sense of being here today and seeing a stack of kids and being mindful of the journey of Hope Church over several decades. My wife Jane, who's deceased about nearly 2 years ago, but Jane was a little kid like these in Murray Street Chapel many years ago. And sometimes during the preaching, they would run out around the corner and knock on people's doors and nick off and so on, and everyone inside was unaware of what their kids were up to. So, yeah, it was good. But just a sense inside that this is journeys, this is time that goes by, that God, we stay faithful with God and God is faithful with us. And that's part of how fruits of the Spirit are grown. This passage in Galatians 5 that we're going to look at about fruit of the Spirit is written by Paul into Galatian churches because there's conflict. The reason he wrote it was to say, what's happening in church isn't quite good at the moment, and one thing you need to understand is just how fruit of the Spirit comes about. And so there's the challenge that he's done. So in our reading of this passage, you can choose to be... You can choose to be white or yellow. Which would you like to be, white or yellow? Yellow. So you're going to be yellow, so I'm going to be white. So I'm going to read the white bits and you're going to read the yellow bits. Okay. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want.
But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft. So just pause here, because if you follow the semicolons, sexual immorality is the top line of that, or on the second line there, and then the next little bracket to the semicolon is idolatry and witchcraft, which is outside of worship of God. But the part in yellow that's listed are the things that were in discord within this church that Paul wrote to. They are all affect how we relate to each other or don't relate to each other. They are the discord that's in our relationships. You're white, aren't you? So I think, yeah, you're on start of drunkenness. Thank you. I'm white. Oh. Drunkenness, orgies and the like, which, if you think about it, all about too much booze or too much drugs, okay? I warn you, as I did before, that those who live lives like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness,
Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So verse 25 is saying part of the task then in fruit of the Spirit is to stay aligned with the Holy Spirit, to walk with the Spirit. It's a powerful image that we actually will walk with the Spirit. We're called to be free. So this passage is written into probably about the year 50 or a little bit earlier, so about 20 years after Christ. Paul has been through this area of central Turkey and established some churches, and this group of people have established more churches. And so Paul writes into them, and he needs to address an issue of discord, because he doesn't want what he's invested his life in with God and planted churches, he doesn't want it going down the gurgler. And it surprises me that within 20 years of the death of Christ, churches have been planted, they've multiplied, and if we're not careful, they're about to vanish. And so it's an interesting thing just to say because things are going well doesn't mean that they'll stay well forever. And those of us who've been around a while, we know we nod our head and say, yeah, that's true. There are often issues that we have to wrestle with, and we need to keep faith pure, and we need to keep walking well with God. So it's written to a church, not just an individual. So in talking about fruit of the Spirit, it isn't just saying, John, you need to have fruit of the Spirit. It's saying Hope Church needs to have fruit of the Spirit. It's about those central group being in relationship with each other. So Paul wants to address an issue. What he's saying to them is that some people who are Christians have come among you and they want to push you back into the law of the Old Testament and say, I want you to live with these things prominent in your life. And so this little diagram is saying, as Paul would say, Abraham had faith and he was blessed by God. Now that's how you are in the Galatian church. How did you come to become Christians? Did you do it because you kept the Old Testament law, or did you do it because, like Abraham, you had faith in God? So faith is the thing that has brought you to where you are. That's what's brought you the blessing, not the keeping of the law. In fact, Abraham's faith was probably 600 or 700 years before Moses received the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 or thereabouts in the story. So Paul says, I've come and preached to you, and by faith you've received Christ, and by faith God has imparted his Holy Spirit into your life. So it's not by the keeping of the law, it's because of faith. And keep that in mind. Don't let people come and say, it's more about the rules than about faith. The Spirit's received by faith. Your growth is received by faith. It says earlier in the book of Galatians, so again I ask you, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? And so he's saying, you see good things happening in your church. You see things that are miraculous happening in your church. It's not about the law, it's about faith. It's about the Spirit among you. You're free to live and stay in step with the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants you to live by one rule, and that is that you love each other. So Paul is writing to this church and he's saying, I'm not sure that you're living by the Spirit, because there's conflict going on. And if we really did love each other well, we'd have sorted that out. And you wouldn't be in conflict. As long as you stay in this sort of conflict, I'm fairly certain you're not really walking by the Spirit. And so here's the context that he's writing into. I drove my car here today and I had to follow the road rules. So I went through half a dozen sets of lights and I went through a few roundabouts and I had about 8 or 10 speed limit changes on the road. I would like you to know that I was pretty much observant of all of those. I think the statement is that probably on average everyone driving once every 3 minutes does something that breaks one of the road rules that's there, whether they're wanting to or not. It just so happens that way. But I think I followed them fairly well. And there's a lot of them, and there's lots of traffic lights, and there's lots of lane changes, and there's lots of speed limit changes. I think some of the speed limit changes are not very sensible, but I still have to obey them. They're still there. The other thing is that they keep the road pretty safe. So I can enjoy a road trip from here to the Sunshine Coast and back through Canberra and take a month away and drive my car, and those road rules help me enjoy an event, and they keep the road safe. I could equally do that in Europe, and at some stage I had the opportunity to do that. It's funny driving a car with a different steering wheel on a different side in that European context. But it can be done, and it can be safe. However, consider someone who is going to make a film. He doesn't have so many rules laid down. The director takes the script, and he sees who he's got, and he's governed by how others, the audience, will receive his film. Not now, but when it's shown, when it's finished. So he's thinking that he's governed by the fact that he wants you to later enjoy his film. He wants the impact of his film to reach out to you. So he's creative with light and shade and colour and scenery and voice and attitude and makeup. He's concerned with how the purpose and message of the film will be seen by you and me. He has to work in good relationship with the actors. Now, we know historically some actors are harder to get on with than others. We hear that. But he has to keep reasonable relationship to keep them working well and get them to express how he wants the film to be interpreted. He has to work with that group of people and keep a good relationship so they will act and work in a way that you will get the message that he wants you to get. Not what someone else wants to get from it, but from what the director gets. So it's a difficult task. He does have a sort of rules. And the other thing, he must satisfy the people who are paying the money, the financiers. On Friday evening, my daughter dropped in on her way home, and she'd just been to see a film up here at the State. She said it had a simple beginning, but a deep impact around human relationships. I think the film is called The Insult, and she recommended that I make time to go and see it. I make the comment because some director went to a lot of time to make the film, and it spoke out into the theatre, into my daughter's life, and it had an impact that he wanted to get across. So road rules are a little bit like the sense of, I must follow the rules. The film director's a bit like, I want to get a message out there, I want it to have an impact. It's about relation. How does it touch people in who will go to the theatre to see the film? Our lives, when lived with conscious walking with the Spirit, register with other people. Paul was saying, I hear of the conflict and I register that you're not loving each other as you ought if you were walking in the Spirit. Our Christianity is not lots and lots of rules to be kept, like driving a car, but it's a bit more like making a film where we need to keep our relationships healthy with each other. We've received the Holy Spirit. We have our freedom in Christianity to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. And as we stay in step with the Spirit, he makes our lives fruitful for God. He grows within us ways of living that are more like Jesus. Some years ago, I went to sit with a man who, for a period, was my spiritual director. So I'd go and sit down with him regularly and talk about how I was getting on with God. And he would ask me questions and so on. A most productive year or two with that man, and 20 years later, this year, I went up and visited him in Launceston and spent some time with him to say thank you. But one thing he asked me to do was to go, after I'd done some other things, go and write my theology of play. So what do you think God thinks about play? So go away, John, have a think about that, and come back and tell me what's your theology of play. You can tell me about your theology of forgiveness or about worship or whatever, but what's your theology of play? And I think he was saying, you're a bit too serious with yourself sometimes. I think, maybe. So how would you get on if I sent you away to come back in 3 weeks' time with two sides of a sheet of paper talking about your theology of play? And it rattled me. Where would you start? Do I hear a response? That where would you start if you were asked to write your theology of play?
Genesis chapter 1, that's God playing.
Anything else? I didn't really believe God would want a theology of play, actually. So I began to talk to some people and they sparked me off with things like that. What I came to in the end was that if I could understand how God had gifted my life, and I got to be able to use the gifts that God had given me, then that was play. It doesn't get any better than that. Sometimes when I'm teaching, I dance, actually. It's delightful to be able to be a teacher gift from God and to exercise it. And so to use the things in our life that are both our gifts and to be fruitful in them, to be able to use them, that becomes for me, it doesn't get better than that. So it's about understanding our God and how he's gifted us and how he's grown fruit in us and be able to express it. They are the things that I think come top of the list. Stay in step with the Holy Spirit. Stay in alignment. So out of Cleansing Stream seminar that some of you may have attended at times, it talks about, do I see a line down through here where God the Holy Spirit is here and I'm here and maybe family and work are here, but they line up. I don't care too much what the Spirit's saying, I'm over here or my work's over here or I'm doing this that's wrong but I don't want to expose it to the Spirit. It's really keeping ourselves by our choices aligned with the Spirit. The Spirit will grow the fruit if we stay in line. And the other thing that we learn from the Apostle Paul is we are never devoid of our fleshiness, wanting to do things that we like doing ourselves that we know God isn't so thrilled about. It's pretty powerful and strong, isn't it? And it never totally vanishes this side of heaven. So how does the fruit grow? In January, I went out into my yard and took this photo. And that green lemon is now quite yellow, actually. I haven't quite picked it yet. But I've got one fruit tree in the backyard, and it's a lemon tree. I have a little backyard. And I, at that stage, had one tomato plant, and it was going okay as well. So they were planted, good soil, fertilizer, sunshine, water, moisture is critical. All these things help the fruit grow in time and over time. In the same way, if we align ourselves with the Spirit and we know we are consciously doing that and we're wanting to be there and not wanting to be off doing our own thing apart from the Spirit, then as we do that, we make space for God's moisture. And I think a lot of people miss the moisture of God. I use the term. If what moisture is to these plants, you see, if you can imagine it occurring in your spirit. God's Spirit wants to put moisture into my spirit and your spirit. Or another way to think of it sometimes is like oil being rubbed into a leather bag, the inside, to keep it supple and not dry and cracked. And so it becomes an environment in which something can grow, in which the fruit of the Spirit can grow. So staying in step, I think, is important. So the kids stood along the front, and I've put it up on the slide, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. In our earlier reading, the things that oppose this and get expressed if we're not conscious of this, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy. Those things, it said, are in conflict with the Spirit, conflict with the fruit of the Spirit. You can't really say you're doing that and I'm living in love with each other. The Holy Spirit wants to see these fruit grow in your life and in my life. That's his desire. And I think it's worth taking that on board. This thing, thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, is not because I want to get there. It's also because the Spirit wants me to get there. It is God's desire that I grow fruit of the Spirit. It's God's desire that you grow fruit of the Spirit. It's God's desire that Hope Church expresses in its relationships the fruit of the Spirit. So we don't leave here today thinking, I must work towards growing fruit of the Spirit. We leave today knowing that we're in partnership, that as much as I would love that happen in my life, God wants it more and more than I do, significantly more. That's God's intention for you, that he should see this growth of his fruits of his Spirit in your life. So it's good for us to want it to happen as well. So that means it's okay to say, God, grow in me gentleness, grow in me goodness. May it produce more, because that's what you want to do. And it's not that we just want to drive ourselves hard, but it's what God desires for our life. So I'd like to talk a little bit about developing some of those fruit of the Spirit as we wrap up today. Paul wrestled in Romans chapter 7 saying, I have this thing where I want to do the right thing and I don't, or I just don't always get it right. And that's true for us, you and me. I think that's true. So I want to say, whatever we say about how well our fruit is developing, we know the reality too is that we're not sinless. And okay, we live with that. Now, in growing in love and the fruit of loving relationship, over the last 20 years, the Holy Spirit has grown in me a capacity to go and remake good terms with people who've been unkind and wanted to damage my reputation. It's not always been easy, and it's not always been possible. But overall, it has been fruitful, and it's been a good testimony for God, and it's been very important for church congregation members to see that being worked out. And for me, this grew as I stayed in step with the Spirit and wanted to see reconciliation. 20 years ago, in my prayer, was to say, God, I've had this difficult time, but I do want to live with you and I want to live for you. And I don't want to come and plead with you to do something and you say, well, John, you never sorted out that mess. And so for 2 or 3 years, I focused on saying, show me where I should do the repair. And for 3 years, that worked hard. And then occasionally it drops in again and again and again. And things that I didn't need to address then have become evident later. So God has grown in me a fruit that I think has worked out into relationships with other people. And I think Paul is saying that's the important thing. I've learned to become a peacemaker rather than a peacekeeper. Colossians 1:15-20 is a beautiful piece of scripture, but this part stands there. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I think from up to this point in time, for 40 years or so, I had been a good peacekeeper. So if I saw two people fighting or two kids fighting, I could separate them and kept the peace. Problem, when I walked away, there was no one there to keep them separated, they'd be back at it again. It's the same in our lives with each other and in this church and other places. There's a difference between someone damping down and just keeping it peaceful rather than going sorting out and making peace. So Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, not necessarily the peacekeepers. But this verse said to me, you can't become a peacemaker without paying the cost, the price. So we sang earlier today, We see Christ on the cross. It's our sin that kept him there. That was a cost of making peace. And so when I've gone to try and make peace with people where I felt that it was time or it was the right thing to do at that time, it can be costly. You might be snubbed. It might be welcomed. My experience has been it's more often welcomed than snubbed. And perhaps that's because I try to listen for God's timing. So the fruit of the Spirit for me has been about loving and making peace. And the third one has been forbearance or patience. Many of you know that I had a decade with living with my delightful wife, Jane, who had her roots in this church in terms of spiritual growth. And in her illness following a brain tumour and surgery and treatment, her life changed. And from the after treatment, her brain decayed over time. Marvellous, delightful Jane. And so I was sitting with my current mentor and talking to him about being in the middle of that and how I found myself at times getting frustrated and angry, trying to work through what this meant in terms of not so much a relationship, but my living and my work and how they fitted together. And it was very stretching. And so I was saying to him, I always thought I was a fairly patient person, and people would say, John, you're a pretty patient person. So what's happening here? And he said, well, if you think about the fruit of the Spirit and them growing, for patience, it's not going to grow until you're really under the hammer, until something hard's happening. That's the place for patience to grow. So you might have thought you were patient, up to a point you were, but here there is an extension that is needed because this is now a tougher place to be in for a while. And so I would nod my head and say, yes, that's true. And so this was a time when God grew something about patience in me. So the last one I'd just like to comment on is self-control. I don't know how you go, but self-control is always a wrestle for me. I did national service at one stage and they talked about self-control and I shook my head and I thought, this is not self-control. If I don't do what you told me to do, I'm going to be charged. Okay, this is imposed control. So I can do all sorts of things when you impose control over me. The real issue is, how do I use my time when I'm on my own and it's my control, self-control. And so God is wanting to grow that fruit in us too, personally, but also in relationship to each other. I think it's the one I still struggle with the most, a bit like Paul. I wish I'd done that, but I didn't, or vice versa, you know. It's a tough one. I've taken a moment in conclusion to come and talk about some of that growth in my life because I would like you to wrestle with God and invite him to give growth in these fruit. But like my fruit growing on the plants, it does take time and it does need good nurture. And the key thing here is keeping in line with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit desires to grow all these fruits in us. It's good for us to talk to him in prayer and ask him to develop his fruit in us. It's a good thing, and there's no law against that. So let's keep in step with the Spirit and walk with him. Lord, I thank you for this church, its style, its hospitality, welcome, its health with you. I pray that in a decade's time, the people who are here today and this church will have a warm sense of talking with you, Holy Spirit, about how you have grown fruit in their lives. We ask this in Jesus' name.